huddle up.
66 Hitchex Vegas Flair. I'm one, ready?
It's time to break down the boldest plays.
Let's go, baby! Boom!
Hardest hits. Woo! And the craziest stories from around the NFL.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Presented by Hard Rock Bet, where you can download the app today on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store and get $150 in bonus bets if you deposit just $5 into your account. Turn $5 into $150 in bonus bets over on the Hard Rock Bet app, and you got baseball in full swing. Best place to get in on every pitch, strikeout, home run, all in the palm of your hand on the app. The app is wonderful because the interface is easy. If you're a brand new player who's not used to a sports book, it's easy to get acclimated. It's easy to navigate. But if you're an experienced player and you're kind of asking a lot out of your sports book, you want a lot of options, Hard Rock Bet has that too. It caters to both types of players, and that's why the wide spectrum of players is just so thorough on the app. You can check out the Discover page and you can see what types of profit boosts, what type of promos they have, and more importantly, what other users are putting together as their own parlays. So if you don't have to put together your own parlay, you can tap and tag along on somebody else's parlay just because you like the looks of it and like the odds and like the profit boosts that it gets. You could bet on stuff like UFC, table tennis. You could bet on the NFL futures, the college football futures, NBA futures. They have it all covered on the Hard Rock Bet app. Christian Katt, our producer on Russo and Rizzo, which you can hear 4 to 6 p.m. on ESPN 106.3. Me and him bet Norwegian handball the other day. They have Norwegian handball on Hard Rock Bet. If you're a big Norwegian handball, that's where you have to go. Hard Rock Bet. Try it now. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling. Call 1-888. Minute. All right, Cade. We continue onward here with our predictions of the NFL season. And we got a couple fun ones here. We're going to come out with a couple, call it awards. We'll give it awards. Couple things I want. Biggest surprise team. Biggest letdown team. We'll do fantasy football winners at the end. And on top of that, you have two random awards that you came up with, and I have two that I came up with. So we'll do those as well. But we'll start with our big surprise and big letdown teams. Let's start with the letdown. Let's start with the veggies before we get to the dessert. Cade, your letdown team is going to be who?
The Arizona Cardinals. Now, I think a lot of teams are expecting this team to be a letdown, but why should we? Why should we expect this team to be a letdown? Well, because they really disappointed us last year, i.e. me, but also they have really done nothing this offseason to surprise anybody. They had to get, they kept Trey McBride great, but this offense is exactly what it was last year. This defense is exactly what it was last year outside of a few insertions. Nothing on this team gets me super excited, but also when you've got Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride with Paris Johnson Jr. on the offensive line, this should be a good team. But I think they're going to let people down maybe even more so than last year. Rather than hovering around 8 or 9 wins or even 7 wins, we're going to see a 4 or 5 win Arizona Cardinals team this year.
Letdown is a tough word here. You think Cardinals here? I think the Lions. And I don't say the Lions in the sense that they're going to miss the postseason, but I don't think this team is going to win 14 games. I think this team is going to be right around 10. And I think that's a letdown for what the standards are for what the Detroit Lions are. I think you're going to feel Frank Ragnow. You're going to feel a couple of the losses that they've suffered throughout the offseason, guys walking away, this and that. But more importantly, you're going to feel the two coordinators. You're going to feel the loss of Aaron Glenn, and you're going to feel the loss of Ben Johnson. I don't want to listen to these training camp reports that everything's happy and dandy because you miss two head coach quality coaches, and they bring guys with them. So you're missing, let's ballpark it at 6, 7, 8 coaches that you had last year that are no longer there. You don't think they're going to feel that? I think they're going to feel that, at number one. And number two, I think the Bears are going to be a little bit better. I think the Packers are going to be a little bit better. I think the Vikings are going to be a little bit worse. But I think you got four teams that are going to be flirting in that 8 to 11 win range. And that's where I think the Lions are going to find themselves. Instead of the 14, and they have the talent for 14 wins, and they weren't healthy last year, and they still dominated. But this is not the same team without those two coaches. I think that will be my letdown team this year. I think we're going to be surprised when that team's fighting for a wild card spot at the end of the year instead of, you know, coasting to the one seed. So that's my letdown team. the Detroit Lions.
Okay, so we'll get to division winners in a few weeks, but that sounds to me like they aren't even going to win this division.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm. Yeah. All right.
There's your There's your little nugget. All right, let's move on. Our biggest surprise team. Cade, your biggest surprise, so more of a positive connotation, is going to be who?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Why are we not talking about this team more?
Well, are they going to be exactly where they have been, you know, get to a playoff game, maybe win one, or are they going to be better than that?
They're going to be just around that, and that's going to surprise people because everyone is talking about the Carolina Panthers, like you've been talking about. The Atlanta Falcons with a new defense and a fresh quarterback who's going to start a full season. No one's talking about how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are just as good as they were last year, just as good as they've been the last 3 years, and ready to make another potential run at these playoffs. Mind you, they were 1 point away or one field goal away from beating the eventual NFC championship runner-ups in the Washington Commanders. And I believe they could have made a great run at the Philadelphia Eagles had they played in the divisional round, I should say. This Tampa Bay Bucs team, I don't think, is being talked about enough. When you have guys on the offensive side like Mike Evans, like Bucky Irving, who kind of popped off at the end of last year, this depth chart, I believe, is amazing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think that with the correct leadership like they have in Baker Mayfield, I know he hasn't really been playing a whole lot this training camp with a few injuries, but they also just picked up a few defensive guys. I'm really liking where the Bucs are right now.
Wow. Okay, so you're high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, I mean, they lost Liam Cohen in the offseason, their offensive coordinator, but they showed that with Dave Canales, they could reload the offensive side of the ball pretty easily. They play hard for Todd Bowles. There's no doubt about that. This is a risky pick I'm going to make. This is a risky one because they got a brutal schedule and a brutal division.
Okay.
I'll say it. The New York Giants are my surprise team this year. Dare I say that we're going to see some positive, we're going to have a positive outlook on that team coming into the offseason for a change for the first time in 10 years. Outside of that Viking year where Daniel Jones rinsed them of $160 million. I think this team's actually going to be pretty good. I don't think they're going to be better than 8 wins, anything better. I think it'd be, but I'm thinking that they could get to that 7-8 win range. 6, 7, 8, I think 7 or 8 is higher than what people are expecting out of them, especially in that division. But why do I like this team so much? Because they got maybe the best defensive line in the league by a long shot. And they have basically 100 elite pass rushing talents. They've inputted some good talent into the secondary, which stunk last year. And they got 4 guys who could get double-digit sacks. That, to me, is dangerous. I think this team's going to be able to get to the quarterback. I think their defense is going to keep them in a couple games. And dare I say, I think Russell Wilson's going to have to be pretty solid for them. Russell Wilson is safe. He knows what to do in terms of getting different guys involved. They don't have a ton of talent and ton of depth offensively, but they're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot. They got three running backs. And they got 3 quarterbacks. Something's gonna give, and something's gonna work. Now the problem is, look at let's listen to this first part of the schedule.
I was just about to ask you, can you find me 7 wins in this schedule? Because I'm seeing maybe 5. If you're lucky.
At Washington, at Dallas to start the year, Kansas City and Los Angeles the 2 weeks after that at home, at New Orleans, home Philadelphia, at Denver, at Philadelphia, home San Francisco, at Chicago. Home Green Bay, at Detroit, at New England.
There's 2 wins.
They're going to steal a couple there, Cade.
There's 2 wins in that
They're
schedule.
Going to steal a couple there. They're going to steal a couple.
All right, so that's you just gave us till week 13. So I'll say they go 2-11.
They're not going 2-11 there. They're not that bad. They're not bad enough for that. They're going to steal one. And when they beat Washington week 1, and they sacked Jaden Daniels 9 times, and they force 3 turnovers, and they squeak one out 17-14. I don't want you coming back to me saying, hey, I want to end on this bet. You can't have in, all right, on the over 5.5 wins. The New York Giants are going to get there. They got maybe the worst schedule I've ever seen. But all I need is them to steal a game against Philadelphia on Thursday Night Football.
No chance.
And then beat Washington.
No chance.
You beat Washington, You beat Philadelphia. You have a chance against Los Angeles at home. You got to beat New Orleans on the road. All right. You got to beat New England. And then you get Chicago. Those are winnable games. San Francisco is a winnable game. And then you get to the end of the year, and you get Dallas again. You get Vegas, Minnesota, and Washington, which is not as bad. Not great, but not as bad. Give me the Giants to surprise some people this year. You think they're going to be 2-11?
I think your wins are Dallas and New Orleans.
You're going to be surprised. This is why I banked this pick. Because you're going to be surprised. You think they're going to go 2-11 their first 13?
Yep.
When they got 5 wins exiting that, don't come to me saying, oh, wow, look at the Giants. You're not allowed to say a word about them.
Okay. I've been wrong before.
2-11. They're not going 2-11. They're going to surprise you. That's my surprise team. All right, Cade. So let's move on from here. You got 2 surprise awards for us.
Yeah,
I have 2 as well.
Creativity.
So you constructed the criteria for this award. I want you to give one of them. We'll go back and forth.
Okay.
Give us your first.
I'm calling this the Irish Goodbye Award. The player who's going to suddenly call for a trade mid-season when no one really saw it coming. He's going to be like, I'm out of here.
Okay.
And my pick for the Irish Goodbye Award for this year is going to be Breece Hall of the New York Jets.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's going to be out.
I think he demands a trade midseason. I do not believe that Breece Hall will end the season as a New York Jet. Okay. This team should be bad. I don't trust Justin Fields, especially if he's injured. I think they're going to utilize Justin Fields way too much. I liked this pick when it originally was... I liked this trade when it was originally constructed. But now thinking about how you're going to play this team, I think a lot of pressure is going to be put on Justin Fields. I think they're going to underutilize Breece Hall. They're going to be having a losing record early in the season, and I think he wants out of there. He's an unrestricted free agent after this season, so he could just wait it out and then go try to make a bag wherever he wants afterwards. Right. I think, though, that he's going to be so sick of this team and this roster that he's going to want out early.
All right. My first award that I'll give out is don't let the door hit you in the fanny award. This is a coach firing mid-season. Specifically, Cade did midseason trade. I did midseason firing. I think there's an easy one on the board. I think Raheem Morris is going to be out before the end of the year for the Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh.
Gone. He blew the end of the game against Tampa Bay last year to keep them out of the postseason, number one. And number two, if and when this Falcon team has a bad start to the year, and they have a lot of expectations. They got a lot of talent. Finally, in a full season of Penix. But they start with Buccaneers at Vikings at Panthers, Commanders, Bills at 49ers. That's their first 6. If they go 2-4 there, or a worse 1-5, there's going to be people knocking on the door saying, what the hell is going on with this team?
That's also true. I think it's going to have a lot to do with the quarterback, too. Because last year, you saw Kirk Cousins just go down the drain. If Michael Penix Jr. does the same thing, then I agree with you. But if he can put up points and their defense is still bad, I think his firing might get delayed a little bit.
Now, he's a defensive coach. Keep this in mind. He's a defensive coach.
That team was terrible on defense last year.
Terrible. And they really input a lot of different players this year comparatively to last year. I think he'll be out before the season's end. I think the Arthur Blank, who is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, I think there's going to be a lot of people calling for questions. I don't think it will be a Penix problem. I just don't think they're going to be winning games. And whether it's defensively or whatever, I think that by season's end, we will say goodbye to Raheem Morris. I already think he's a terribly overrated coach to begin with because of how he handled the end of that Tampa Bay game last year. But I think that there's a lot of what if attached to Atlanta because they had Belichick on the phone. They didn't go for him. They ended up getting Raheem Morris. Vrabel was sort of in the conversation there as well. They were just looking elsewhere when Morris was brought in. I think Morris is not a great head coach, and I could see him exiting swiftly if they have a bad first half of the season. So that's my pick. Don't let the door hit you in the Fanny Award. The winner is Raheem Morris. Cade, your next your award that you came up with is what?
This is the Arch Manning Award. This is the team that will lock up the number one overall pick for the 2026 NFL Draft, and I have the New Orleans Saints. I don't trust any quarterback on this Saints roster to do me any good this season. I don't like the division they're in. I think everyone's better than them. I don't necessarily love the schedule, especially to start the year. Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle, Buffalo. The depth chart is so sad. There's so many players on this team that I don't believe want to be there. Alvin Kamara, I think, is done. Chris Olave, we'll see if he sticks around for the end. The number one quarterback on this roster is Tyler Shuck, who I'm not super happy about. Cam Jordan, not washed, but definitely on the decline of his career. And the Honey Badger just retired as well. So not a lot going for the New Orleans Saints. We kind of saw this coming at the end of last year. I think it'll fully manifest itself this year. We don't know if Arch Manning is going to declare for the draft.
Yeah, that's the biggest question. Yeah, you don't.
But if he is, New Orleans Saints, I think, are the number one spot to get him.
Okay, interesting. So I've went in a couple different directions here in terms of I was looking at schedules and I was thinking, all right, who is in a prime position to take advantage of a couple games early, and then it all starts to fall apart at some point or other later on the season. What this award, my second award, is called, it's called Major Look. Major Look Award was the Carolina with the Arizona Cardinals last year when they were 6-3 through 9 weeks, and they completely imploded after that.
Yeah.
I want to make a prediction on a team that is going to do some of the same, whether it's through 6 weeks, through 5 weeks, through 10 weeks, a team that is going to show promise, and then it's just the walls are going to start caving in from around. And who do I think this team's going to be? The Miami Dolphins. I think the Miami Dolphins are actually going to have a hot start to the season.
Really?
I do. And they might stink, and I think they're going to stink by the end of the year. You're going to think of them like you do the Arizona Cardinals by the end. But they start with at the Colts, Patriots, at the Bills on Thursday Night Football. Then they get the Jets and the Panthers. It's not a terrible part of the schedule. And then it gets into Chargers, Browns, at Falcons, Ravens, Bills, Commanders. That's where you start to get ripped apart a little bit, and then it's cold. And then the Dolphins are in a lot of trouble because it's cold.
Wither away.
And their away games later in the year are Patriots, Jets, and Steelers. No domes. Now, they have a lot of home games, but no domes in those areas of the country when they're traveling all throughout there. So because of that, I think the Dolphins are actually going to show you a little bit of promise offensively. And I think because they have an easier part of the beginning schedule, I don't think this team is going to be too win bad, maybe like some believe, because I think they're a lot better with Tua healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not banking on Tua getting hurt, but I'm under the impression that that team's just sort of going to fall apart. All the hinges are just going to come loose. And if they are able to surprise and beat the Patriots week two and then beat the Colts week one, lose to the Bills, beat the Jets, all of a sudden they're 3-1. And then you get to the Panthers and maybe they're, 3-2 or 4-1. And then you get to the Chargers, Browns, Falcons, Ravens part. And then that's where they start to come apart. Dolphins are my pick for the major look. We're going to look and be like, my God, are they okay?
I love it.
No, not okay. Not okay. All right, Kate, last thing here, really quickly. We'll do a headline hierarchy on the flip side, but I want to get a couple fantasy football winners that you have.
Okay. Number one, and Theo Dorsey did an amazing job explaining how this will be a dark horse, great pick candidate. Omarion Hampton for the LA Chargers, the rookie running back.
No, everybody loves the rookie running backs. Yeah, that's it. That's the golden goose every year,
But it's not going to be Ashton Jeanty as far as the guy who's going to win you your fantasy draft, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Omarion Hampton. You got Najee Harris, who's hurt. You got Ladd McConkey, who everyone's going to have their eye on. But you're going to have Omarion Hampton, who's going to kind of slip in there. Jim Harbaugh loves his running backs. They just locked up Rashawn Slater, so the offensive line should be a little bit better. But I think Omarion Hampton has a lot to prove this year, and you're going to need a running back who's going to consistently be the number one back no matter what happens. And the LA Chargers should have their rookie guy.
Yep, and they're going to use him, especially in a Harbaugh offense. I'm going to build off that. I'm also going to take a rookie running back, but I'm doing it over in New England. I mentioned him earlier as my offensive rookie of the year, Travion Henderson. Mm-hmm. Travion Henderson's probably like a third or fourth round pick, but I think that's going to be a league winner because I think he's going to be a top performer in the league if they use him the way I think they're going to use him. He's great out of the backfield. He's got good hands. He's sort of a savvy back-and-forth back. It works for what the Patriots are trying to do, and it works in congruence with what Ramondre Stevenson does, who's their number one back. I think they're going to make things easier on Drake May by running the ball or making the read simple, easy. I think Trayvon Henderson is going to be an early factor, and I would be under the impression that that will be a quote-unquote league winner. Cade, your next one is who?
Evan Engram, tight end, Denver. You add another weapon for Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos, who you say are already going to make a great run in the AFC playoff race. But this is a guy who is going to be a secure secondary receiver for Bo Nix outside of Cortland Sutton. I know he can't block the best, but you're talking about a guy who had some amazing hands when he was in Jacksonville and honestly kind of felt underutilized when he was in Florida. You obviously know
he had success with them. He did, yeah. Yeah, he kind of resurged his career a little bit.
You know, Sean Payton loves his tight ends. The Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham connection in New Orleans was unbelievable. I think Bo Nix now has a secure number one tight end that could be huge because tight ends are so hard to come by when it comes to fantasy football. You need a guy who can consistently get you 8 to 10 points every single week and doesn't get you a whole lot of duds. I think Evan Engram is going to be that sturdy guy who he won't break out for 17. He won't break out for 20 plus points as a tight end, but he'll make sure he gets you 8 to 10 every single week.
I think Colston Loveland, I'm taking another rookie here, tight end for Chicago, is going to have a good year. He was a good player with Michigan, and they have Cole Kmet sitting there. But with Ben Johnson's going to want to use the young legs. He's going to be the savvy part of that offense. I could see him being a little bit of a Swiss Army knife, run the ball here, maybe throw a pass, but also be a pretty prime receiving target because he's huge. Colston Loveland is a quiet tight end candidate. We saw Brock Bowers the year before. We saw Laporta. I'm not saying Colston Loveland's going to be that, but I think he's going to be very successful in Chicago. Colston Loveland is my second one. Cade?
My last one is going to be a wide receiver. Also, this one's coming to come from the NFC. Davante Adams, historically the number one wide receiver when it comes to fantasy football. He has been all over the place. He has had historic touchdown numbers year after year after year. He's coming into a system for the first time ever where he is the number two wide receiver. Now, we had someone else go to LA as a number two wide receiver who was historically the number one wide receiver. And that was Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. went to the LA Rams for just the second half of the season and could have won Super Bowl MVP, was the absolute workhorse in the playoffs for the Rams and for Sean McVay. And I think Davante Adams is going to have that same role. Cooper Kupp is gone. Puka Nacua is obviously the number one wide receiver in there. But look out for Davante Adams to get some clutch touchdowns when you need him to late in the season. He doesn't get injured. He always stays around for the whole season. And I think Matthew Stafford is going to rely on a veteran wide receiver when he needs to down the stretch in a playoff game.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to take the guy that he's replacing, Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
Seattle Seahawks. They got rid of Metcalf. They got Jackson Smith and Jigba sitting right there. He's going to take a lot of the attention away. They got a good running game. Darnold gets guys involved. Darnold's very good at spreading the ball around. And what I saw last year with Justin Jefferson is he sort of force-fed him. If that's Smith and Jigba, fine. But I think Darnold's going to do a good job of getting Kupp involved because Kupp is ultra-reliable. Darnold likes reliable. Reliable is attractive because reliable is it's safer. I think he's going to be heavily utilized quickly. And barring health, that's the biggest thing with him at his age. Can he stay healthy? He'll be a big factor for them. I think Cooper Kupp is actually somebody that you could take a flyer on. He'll drop in drafts just because he's old. He'll drop in drafts, and then that could be a league winner as well, fantasy football wise. Good stuff, Cade. Cade Chumsen, Colin Russo. Those were our award. That was our award ceremony. What we got to do on the flip side is we got to do a little headline hierarchy where Cade gives me five headlines and I rank them 1 through 5 in terms of importance. We'll do that on the flip side. Stick around for it. Cade Chumsen, Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, ESPN 106.3.
Red right, 24 double Puma on one, replay.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen with you at Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet right here on ESPN 106.3. It is August, which means football season is essentially close enough to the Hall of Fame game. Essentially here, and what that means college football, and what that means bowl season. 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, it's kicking off its 12th year this year. Tuesday, December 23rd at 2 p.m. over at FAU Stadium. Mark your calendars. The game is going to air on ESPN. It's It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from the group of five. We'll battle that out for their chance at the title. More information at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates today. The 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd at FAU Stadium. Closer to Christmas this year, which means a big-time bowl game. So take advantage of that. It's going to be right here in South Florida. You know the weather's going to be good. All the schools are going to enjoy that coming down south. But Cade Sullivan and Colin Russo. Sunday Huddle, not Russo and Rizzo. All right, Cade, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do Headline Hierarchy, which is a new segment that we've been trying the last couple of weeks. And how it works is Cade Chumsen, our producer today, has five headlines from around. Is it just NFL this week?
We're going to do NFL this week.
Just NFL this week. And he's going to give me them blind. So what he means by that is Cade formatted the order in which he gives me these headlines in a random 1 through 5 format. And it's my job to rank them 1 through 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in order of biggest headline, biggest story, most important, along the lines of that. Simple enough. I think I'm 4 for 4. I've been dominating this so far, but Cade's going to get me one of these days. I don't know if it'll be today. But let's get to it. The headline hierarchy.
5 mystery storylines from the National Football League.
I thought this would be purposeful on Cade's part.
1 Colin Russo hoping to not bury the lead.
This is not a big-time headline.
It's time for the Headline Hierarchy on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
All right, Kay, what do you got for us today? You got 5 in store?
Here we go, Colin. Number 1, Aaron Rodgers is going for one last effort attempt at another ring, this time with the Pittsburgh Steelers and his brand new toy, DK Metcalf.
Is that the story? Is it importance right there?
Aaron Rodgers.
In the scope of the NFL season, Aaron Rodgers is right there firm at number 3. Aaron Rodgers and what he could do with the Pittsburgh Steelers will be... yeah, middle of the pack, number 3, probably his last season. Aaron Rodgers' last season was really the last season in Green Bay, but we're going to honor him because he's an all-time great. I don't think he'll be able to do anything of substance. I think the Steelers are going to stay right where they are because of that. I don't think this is going to be as big of a story, you know, 4 months from now as it will be now, because I don't think they're going to be as dangerous. But that'll be number 3. Sturdy. What do you got next?
All right, number 2. The Philadelphia Eagles kept a lot of key pieces this offseason, and now they look to go back to back. Colin, do the Eagles have a chance at Super Bowl 60?
Yes, they do. And in terms of a story, I think this will be... I'm between 1 and 2. This is the favorite. This is going to be number 1. Eagles going back-to-back here. They're the most fearsome team in the league. They get the most depth in the league. They draft well every single year. They could resurge players' careers left and right. They got a ton of talent. Jalen Hurts has got a pretty remarkable resume for somebody being as disrespected as much as he is. And the Eagles are going to be right back where they left off, barring health. This is a number one. This is the number one story. Can the Eagles do it again? It's no longer the Chiefs as the big bad scary. The Chiefs are still there, and they're always going to be dangerous, but it's the Eagles. The Eagles are the big bad scaries just off of how good the defense is, how good the lines are, and how good Hurts is in a big game. This is number 1. Cade, what do you got next?
Number 3 for your blind rankings of these headlines. Jaden Daniels had what some considered to be the best rookie year in NFL history. Can he back up the game for season number 2?
Yes, I think they'll have a good year. I don't think they're not NFC Championship good, but he'll be good again. This is number 4. I don't think this is number 2. I think this is number 4. Jaden Daniels, I'm not expecting the sophomore slump akin to what we saw from CJ Stroud. I'm expecting some regression, but regression off a perfect season. That team had magic last year. That team would churn out victories, come from behind. Remarkable finishes left and right. Started with that Bears game. This is a big story. It's not the story. I think Jaden Daniels and that Washington Commanders team have a lot to prove. They got a lot of foes in that NFC now. I would put this at number 4. All right, what do we got next?
Here we go. Shedeur Sanders and the Cleveland Browns QB carousel goes episode by episode, week after week. Shout out to our buddies at ESPN Cleveland for making sure they're covering all of the Cleveland Browns training camp. But Colin, what do you expect to happen in Cleveland with this QB monstrosity that they've put themselves
in? This is perfect. This is number five. This is number five because we will be done with this story in week three. This story is so played up for the offseason. You're not even going to see Shedeur for the first couple of games. That's my prediction today. You'll see him at some point or other in the season, but it's never going to be in a high-leverage situation. They're never going to play in a meaningful game. And to be honest with you, if they're that bad, I don't even know if they're going to give him an even look. I think they're going to get him in there, and they're going to be looking at a quarterback from next year's draft because there's a lot of good ones. If they are bad enough, or Jacksonville, remember, they have Jacksonville's first-round pick. If they're that bad, and Jacksonville is not great either, and they got two top 13 picks, including a top five, they're going to sit there and not draft a quarterback. They're going to go get one. And that unless this kid, unless Shedeur Sanders lights the world on fire, or Dylan Gabriel lights the world on fire, they're getting another one. That would be my prediction, and I think we're going to be done with the Browns' whole story by the time of week three when Flacco's three or four games in. This is number five. What do we have for number two?
We have the number two slot left. Tom Brady enters his second year as the main color analyst for Fox Sports. What do you want to see from the GOAT back in the booth?
All right, I should have replaced this with Jaden Daniels. This is a number four story, but it's going to have to be number two. Tom Brady, I think the bigger story is his affiliation with the Raiders and how that's going to progress, and more importantly, what's going to get in the way of that. Because I saw him at training camp. Guy looked like a coach. Tom Brady's walking around with a clipboard and a hat and a pen on his ear. Tom, you're a Fox broadcaster getting paid $35 million a year. You cannot go run drills with the Raiders at training camp. At least I don't think so. He's got his focus too divided at a certain point. Now, you know, broadcasting 17 games a year, all right, it's not his fault. It's not his whole life. But there's a conflict of interest at a certain point. So I think the big story is how that Raiders thing is going to progress and what his involvement is going to be on both sides, Fox versus Raiders. But in terms of a broadcaster, I thought Brady, he's too good at being good at things to be bad at this for a long period of time. It's broadcasting at the end of the day. It's just talking about what you see and what you know. He knows just as much as anybody, if not more. He just got to be a little bit better with enunciating everything and getting the words out concisely. He'll get better at that. I'm not worried about that really as much. I think he's going to be I don't love his call, but I don't. His voice doesn't bother me, and that's a big component. His voice doesn't bother me. And once he starts to simple, effective, direct, those three, when he starts to hit that, then I think Brady could actually be pretty solid.
He needs his go-tos. So like when I was in broadcasting school, one thing that that the teacher recommended us doing if we were practicing for either play-by-play or color was expand your vocabulary and have it either in front of you or just have something to go to all the time. Brady never had that. Brady came up whatever was at the top of his mind, and he always let his sentences trail into whatever Kevin Burkhardt wanted to say next. And
until the next play.
Yeah.
And then Burkhardt's trying to run the get going with the next play, and Brady's still finishing a point. He's got to be concise.
Brady needs to have some, like, about five or six go-to things he can either talk about or say in order to get in and out of the play. But like you said, I don't think his voice is that bothersome to listen to. He has amazing insight. I think there's just some technicality things to work on, and I'm excited to see, because like you said, he's not going to want to be bad and have the criticism on him for too long.
Not gonna doubt. You can't doubt Tom Brady. There's some people that are just wired differently, and Brady's one of those people. He's too good, and he's too aware of being good at things. He's not going to allow himself to be bad at something he's being paid $35 million for. That's just my opinion. He's not going to sit there and stink. He's not going to be Drew Brees and be out in 2 years. I don't think so. Tom Brady we're talking about. So from that perspective, I think Brady's actually going to do a good job. I screwed this up. I should have put Jaden Daniels number two. I didn't know where you were going with the broadcast angle number four. I should have flipped those two and it would have been perfect. But nonetheless, I like where else I put everything on the headline hierarchy.
Number one, the Eagles trying to go back-to-back. Number two, Tom Brady back in the broadcast booth. Number three, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Number four, Jaden Daniels looking to back up his great rookie season. Number five, the Cleveland Browns QB carousel.
Yeah. One off. All right. We'll take a hit here and there. That's not a big deal. That was the headline hierarchy. Big thanks to Cade for putting that together. On the flip side, we got to blitz the book one more time. This time, we're doing something a little different. Futures, my favorite time of the year. Love taking NFL futures. We're going to take our Super Bowl champions, four over-unders apiece, win totals. We'll do that on the flip side. Cade Chums and Colin Russo, Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3.
Let's go. Double right, scat right, double cowboy. Double right, scat right, double cowboy.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen with you. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. You missed any of the show today, go listen back. Russo and Rizzo, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, just search it up there. Well, it's time for us to make a couple picks against the spread, a quarter with our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. Go download that app today in the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started. You can step into the cage, bet a little UFC, increase your odds, get a little promo boots out of it. And what I mean by that is make your picks pack a little bit more powerful of a punch with three 19% profit boosts for the 3-1-9 fights. How about that? Table tennis is the fifth most popular sport on Hard Rock Bet. Did you know that? Fifth most. You can, and the matches are only 10 minutes, and you can bet it, and then you can watch it on the app. That's how easy it is. Table tennis. Fifth most. Bet it, watch it, 10 minutes, in and out. That's how fun it is. Speaking of big wins, a bettor on Hard Rock Bet put together a $10 parlay, cashed over $20,000 just a couple weeks ago. They did it on the app, so can you. Try it today and get $150 in bonus bets with the first $5 you deposit into the app. That's $150 in bonus bets for the first $5 you deposit. Do it today. Go get started. Football season's here. You're going to be wanting to bet the games. Don't be stupid. Come on, go get started. Hard Rock Bet is offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling. Call 1-888. A minute. All right, second go around in a two-hour edition of Sunday Huddle. Let's operate quickly here. It's time for us to blitz the book one more time. What's the book? Once again, Cade and I are going to take over-unders on the NFL win totals, four apiece, then take a Super Bowl champion against the odds with Hard Rock Bet. Cade, how about you start us off and give us an over-under pick that you like at this point in the season?
This will be the most confident I am in one of these over-unders, and I'm sorry, Pops, but I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings under their 8.5. I think a lot of people are putting way too much pressure on J.J. McCarthy.
Wow, they won 14 games last year. You're going to have them go 6 under that?
I'm going to go under. I'm going to have them go 8 games, and I think that'll be a success. I think there is so much pressure on J.J. McCarthy to go back to the playoffs to get 9 or 10 wins. I think if they win 8 games, that's a success. 8-9 for the Minnesota Vikings with a first year. J.J. McCarthy is successful for this team. He's going to be a slow burner. Give him more reps, the better he will become. He wasn't really talked about too much earlier in college. It was his fourth and final year that he made a big name for himself. So give me J.J. McCarthy to go under 8.5 wins with the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow. All right, I'll match you with an under. Actually, no, I'll take one of my overs. Let's start on a positive note. I'm taking the Green Bay Packers. Talked about them a little earlier in the program. I think the Green Bay Packers, who won 11 games last year and went 1-5 in the division. Keep that in mind. They went 1-5 in their division, and they won 11 games. So this is a team that was good against everybody else and then wasn't good against their division. They barely squeaked one out against the Bears. That was their only win last year. They're not losing two straight to the Lions and the Vikings again. The Lions took hits. The Vikings took hits. The Packers are sort of the in-between where you don't really know what they are, but yet they have a good head coach, and they're going to have Jordan Love healthy. Do we know how good Jordan Love is yet? No. But the fact that he's healthy, I think, will help them. And they got a running game. They got some talent offensively. They got a new rookie receiver that they can play with. There's a speedster, Matthew Golden. Give me the over, Green Bay Packers, 9.5.
Next up for me, yeah. I'll go with another under. Why not? New Orleans Saints. I said it before, they'll have the number one pick from last year. I think this over-under is really high. It's at 6.5 for the Saints. I see them winning only 4, maybe 5 games. This is plus money. Plus 220 on the Hard Rock Bet app for New Orleans Saints under 6.5. I think that's easy money.
Okay, I'm going to follow it up with another over. Denver Broncos, 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
10 wins. They got to 10 last year. I think they're going to be better this year, better defense. The division is still going to be good, but this is going to be a very competitive. I think there's going to be 3 teams in this division that win 10 games. I think the Broncos will be one of them. That's my second pick. What do you got?
I was tempted to do the same thing with the Houston Texans. Another 10-win season, another win of the division at 9.5 games. I'm not going to do it.
That's an emotional bet. Don't make it emotional.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. So let's go with one that I'm almost even more positive is going to happen, giving the LA Rams over 9.5 games. Another division win for them. This is going to be another big Matthew Stafford run in the playoffs. It's minus money. It's minus 150, but with a weakening division, I like the Rams at over 9.5.
I talked about them a little earlier in the program. Cade's not as high in them as I am. Carolina Panthers over 6.5. Why do I like this? Because I think they'll be better, and their first 5 games of the schedule, at Jaguars, at Cardinals, home Falcons, at Patriots, home Dolphins, then they got the Cowboys, and then at the Jets. That's 4 or 5 winnable games right then alone. An easy start to the schedule. I think they'll surprise some people. I just need 7 wins. I think that's totally doable for the Carolina Panthers. Give me that over. Cade, your last pick is what?
My last pick is going to be another over. I'll head back to the AFC South Division, my own division. Give me the Tennessee Titans. They won't make a huge run at the division. They won't make a huge run at any AFC playoff spot. But this over-under right now is only at 5.5. This team won 4 games last year with some of the worst quarterback play you've ever seen in your life. I think Cam Ward is a huge step up for them.
Yeah, he's going to be a good player.
They've still got some talent at the wide receiver position. So let me go with the over for the Tennessee Titans at just 5.5 games. 6 wins out of the Titans when they won 4 last year, and now they've got a number one shining quarterback. I like this one for the Tennessee Titans at 5.5 over.
I'm surprised by this one. I think it's because they got an easy start to their schedule as well, but I'm taking the under in Arizona. Arizona's at 8.5.
Not a problem. Yeah,
Arizona's at 8.5. I don't think they're going to be doing that again. They always float around the 7 win range. I think that's where they're going to be again. Now, they start with the Saints, Panthers, Seattle, and the Titans, and the Colts to start the schedule. But on the flip side, they finish it off, and they got a stretch where they have to deal with the Cowboys, Packers, Seahawks, Niners, Buccaneers, Jaguars, Rams, Texans in a row. That's a lot. And then they finish off with the Bengals and the Rams and the Falcons. It's a tough finish to the schedule. Give me the Cardinals under 8.5. I do not think they're going to be a big-time factor early. I think they might be looking for another quarterback after this year. That would be my takeaway.
Ooh.
That would be my hot take. Those are our 4 picks. All right, Cade, you're Super Bowl champion. You can take this based on the odds. What do you like for Super Bowl 60?
All right. I said that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are going to have a better year. This is it. I'm taking them. I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens. I know they are the absolute favorite on Hard Rock Bet, but like, I think they can do it. The Chiefs are weakening. If they can just get to the Super Bowl, I think they can beat whoever is on the other side. Give me the Ravens to finally break over the hump, solidify Lamar Jackson as one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. I like Baltimore to make it happen.
I've been playing around with the odds the whole time, playing the odds game. I'm not going to do it this time. Eagles plus 700. They're repeating.
Mm.
They're that good. They're stacked up. They're that good. That was our Blitz to Book.
You can pick up a matchup, though. So who would you like to see on the AFC side? Because
Bills Eagles would be a really fun game. We were devoid of that last year. We were robbed of that last year.
But if I go Ravens Eagles on Hard Rock Bet, I can get it at plus 1750.
All right. Take advantage of Hard Rock Bet. That's Cade Chums. Appreciate him keeping us up over the air. Colin Russo saying so long. We'll be back at it next week, 10 a.m. with another round of Sunday Huddle. See ya. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused. ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.